Thank you for downloading this sermon brought to you by the preaching ministry of Liberty Baptist Church of Las Vegas, Nevada, Dr. David Tice. For more sermons in both audio and video format, we encourage you to visit experienceliberty.com. Also, for a word of encouragement, insight, and biblical inspiration, follow Pastor David Tice's blog at davidtice.com. So without further ado, let's open our hearts to the Word of God.
If you would, and turn to John chapter 5. John chapter 5, the last several weeks that I've been here on Wednesday night, and that's been very sparing throughout the summer months, we have been talking, when I'm here, about the I Ams of Jesus Christ. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ, and what did he say about himself? And we've seen several things. We've seen that Jesus said, I am come to fulfill the law. We don't have to wonder who Jesus is. He said who he is. He tells us about himself. He said, I am come to fulfill the law. He said, I am not come to call righteous, but the sinners to repentance. He cared about lost people. It's not that he didn't care about righteous people that were doing right, but he came to reach those that were unrighteous. Jesus said, I am not come to send peace, but a sword. The preaching of Christ and the truths of God's word oftentimes will cause conflict. Jesus said, I am meek. That is, he showed his dependence upon God, the Father. He was God in human flesh, but he laid aside his godly attributes. And he didn't walk as God amongst men. He walked as man, as a man, dependent upon God amongst men to show us how we should live and how we should respond. He said, I am with you always. That is, in every way, Jesus Christ is with us if we allow him to be. He said, I am come to send fire on the earth. He talked about the fact that his coming was going to finalize the judgment of God. And then he said, I am as he that serveth. And we spoke, the last time I was here on Wednesday night, we talked about the fact that Jesus said, I am here not to be served, but to serve. And that ought to be our heart and attitude. Now, we're looking at who Jesus is because the Bible tells us that we are to represent him. And so we need to find out who Jesus is so that we can become like him. Now, in John chapter 5, in verse 39, Jesus said this about himself. He said, search the scriptures. He's speaking to the Pharisees who were constantly critical of him. He said, search the scriptures, for in them you think that you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. If you want to know about me, just search the scripture. The scriptures will tell you all about me. And ye will not come to me that you might have life. The problem is you think you can get to heaven without me, but you can't. He says this, verse 41, I receive not honor from men, but I know you that ye have not the love of God in you. Verse 43, here's our key verse. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek honor that cometh not from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? Jesus said, listen, you're living for what men think. You're living to impress men. I am not. I am come in my Father's name. I'm come to do what God wants me to do, and I am come to represent Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am an ambassador. I am a representative of Jesus Christ. He said, I am come in my Father's name. Let's pray. Father, I pray you teach us some things about Jesus this evening. Teach us some things about your son. Teach us about yourself and who you were in the person of Jesus Christ. Help me to honor you. And Father, help us to learn to honor you as we examine who you are. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I walked into my office this morning after having a meeting with our summer missionaries and a meeting with our staff. I walked into my office to get some work done. When I walked into my office, I was met with Pastor Villarreal, Pastor Ray, sitting across the table from a man in a wheelchair in my office. And it's a man who's visited our church several times. In fact, he calls this his church home. And he said he just had his head down, and he said, I don't know what I'm going to do. He said, I'm so depressed. I am so frustrated. And I said, well, tell me about it. He said, well, I said, tell me a little bit about you. I didn't know the man very well. I've met him once or twice, shaking hands with him in the foyer. And he said, look at me. He said, my body is broken. He had braces on his arms. He said, I need those replaced. He said, I need my hips replaced. I need my kneecaps replaced. He said, I've got a problem with my back, my lower back. And he said, I'm supposed to go see the doctor this morning. And he said, why? Why does God want me here? What is my purpose in life? Why am I even here? And that's a hard thing when you're looking at somebody who is going through physical difficulty. It's a very hard thing, if I'm in a situation like that, I'm feeling, man, what's this all about? When's it going to stop? He told me that he was a veteran, talked to me about his life, talked to me about the fact that 19 years ago, his wife had passed away, and he's been on his own ever since. He said, I'm just so depressed. And I looked at him, and you know what I wanted to do? I wanted to look at him and say, hey, you know, I feel bad too. Let me get you some money. Let me do something. That's what I wanted to do. But that's not what God wanted me to do. I looked at him and I said, look at me. I said, you need to understand that God has you exactly where he wants you to be. I said, if he hasn't healed you and taken you out of that chair, it's because he wants you in that chair. And I said, if you're going to a doctor this morning, it's because he wants you to go to a doctor this morning. Because I asked him if he knew for sure he was going to heaven. He said, oh, yes, I'm a Christian. I said, then I want you to understand there's a doctor that needs your help today. You think you're going to see a doctor because the doctor's going to help you. No, that's not why you're going to see the doctor. I said, you need to get your eyes off of yourself and get focused on somebody else. You need to focus on what God wants you to do. You need to focus on what God wants you to do with your life. I said, it's very easy for you to sit and think how terrible it is that you're in this wheelchair. It's terrible. It's easy for you to just focus. And he just hardly would look at me. And finally, he started looking up at me, and I said, you need to understand. I called his name. I said, God has you exactly where he wants you to be. And I said, you can spend the rest of your life moaning about what you don't have or the loss of your wife or the situation that you're in and wondering why you're there. You can whine about the fact that you're hurting and his hurt was legitimate. And we can do that. We can. Satan does everything he can to get our eyes off of God and off of others and focused on ourselves. I said, God wants you to be a servant. He said, I just don't understand my purpose. I said, I'm going to tell you your purpose. Your purpose is to represent Jesus Christ. And I said, through the problems that you have, you're going to have an opportunity to show Christ to people that I'll never be able to get to. So that's why you're where you are. That's why you're still alive. And as long as you're breathing, God wants you to represent him. I talked to him for a few minutes, and by the time he said, Pastor, thank you for telling me that. That's what I needed to hear. I want you to understand that's not what I wanted to tell him. I felt like a heartless, terrible man. But we need to understand that. It's not a lack of compassion to tell somebody, look, you got to stop thinking about yourself, because as long as a person is thinking about themselves, they are no good for anything. As long as I'm cared about my pain and my lack of being able to breathe and my inability to, as long as I'm thinking about myself, then I'll never get out of that dreadful, mournful situation. I've got to look beyond the circumstances. God doesn't want you to allow circumstances to control your life, whether it's physical circumstances or financial circumstances or anything else. God wants you to understand that whatever circumstances you are in, He wants to use to reach other people that are in the same circumstance. I said to him, I said, when you see that doctor today, this is what I want you to do. I want you to put your hand on his arm and say, doctor, is there anything I can pray for you about? He looked at me like I was crazy. I said, you look at him and you say, is there anything I can pray for you about? Is there anything I can help you with? I just want to pray for you and tell him how thankful you are for what he does, but pray for him because he has needs. And there'll be nurses in there and there'll be other people in that waiting room that are going to need you, and that's why you're going. We need to reverse the way we think. As he left, I went to my mailbox and I got mail out. In that mailbox, I pulled out a letter from a friend of mine. And this is what my friend said. Dear Pastor Tice, first of all, thank you for praying so faithfully for us. Secondly, thanks for your faithfulness to this ministry. And lastly, thank you for the card and the notes. They have been encouraging. This morning we were given the news that this new problem I'm facing is cancer, and it's going to take my life within weeks. Likely, I will not get out of the hospital unless hospice has the ability to handle the amount of oxygen I need. Oh, please don't weep for me. The Lord has done so much in the 6 extra years he's given me. 6 years ago, he was diagnosed with cancer. This man is a man who spends his life helping young men plant churches. He said, thankfully, in June, at the annual meeting, God led us to prepare for this day. We passed a motion for Brother Jeremy Rowland to become the general director of our ministry, and I would become the executive director beginning July 1st. We planned a big announcement and a video for the social media for September 1st and trips to regions and states to meet with pastors and share our plans. Well, here's the big announcement, but with lots less fanfare. He has actually been doing those responsibilities for several years, and I've been doing executive work during that time. It was just making it official. Now listen carefully, please. And then he talks about the ministry, the people that are giving him money for ministry. He said, listen carefully, please. Nearly 2/3 of the finances of the ministry come through what most of you call support for the Jessup family. His name's Earl. This money that has kept this ministry planting churches for many years, you have actually been supporting the church general fund. What he's saying is the money that you've been sending to me personally, I've been giving to the ministry. So he said, I just receive a salary. If you discontinue this investment in the ministry, it will drastically affect the number of churches planted. Please, and this man is going to be dead in 2 weeks. This is what he's pleading for. Please, please, don't let that take place. We need this ministry now more than ever. My wife will continue as a ministry and a writer and a proofreader and a consultant. She'll receive a much reduced salary until she retires at 75. If you want to say you're supporting her, that's fine, but keep supporting this ministry. If you want to do something financially to honor my entrance into heaven, which is real, fund the ministry. All I want you to do, he just keeps going on saying, send money to the ministry, to take care of the ministry. The Lord allowed my final request. This is how he ends. The Lord allowed my final request. I wanted to minister, that is serve, until the final weeks of my life. Just a few short weeks ago, my wife and I led a lady to Christ And just this past week, our daughter led her sister to the Lord. The week before I got sick, I taught my last Sunday school class at our church. We have continued to work with young couples, mentoring them the best we can. And the very night I took the fever, Beth and I had made a visit to a lady just given the diagnosis of terminal cancer. He has been so very good to us. He said, "Listen, the thrill of my life is I'm about to die, but at least up to the last week, I've been able to serve Jesus Christ." Then he goes on to say how the funeral arrangements have all been taken care of, and the pastor will get in touch with us about the funeral arrangements. But his whole thing is, the thing that impressed me about this letter was he said, I'm about to die. Don't worry about me. Just keep serving Jesus. And I've had the privilege of serving Jesus, and I'm going to keep serving him up till the time, the week before I die. Wow. What a difference. Earl understood it. Earl got it. 6 years ago when he got cancer, he said, I'm just going to keep serving Jesus. In fact, he says in here that his pastor said, look, you don't know when you're going home. Just keep serving Jesus until you do. And he said, oh, that's what I'm going to do. He just kept serving Jesus. Look, you and I are on this planet for one reason, and that's to represent Jesus Christ. Jesus said this, I am come in my Father's name. He didn't come to do his will. He said, I am come in my Father's name. I'm here to represent Jesus Christ. Whatever circumstance I find myself in, I am an ambassador of Christ. I am an ambassador, he said, of God the Father. I'm here to represent the Father. Now, the Bible tells us very specifically that Jesus Christ is God in human flesh. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, the Bible says, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Let me read it because I can't remember the entire verse. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 16, he says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. He was justified in the spirit. He was seen of angels. He was preached unto the Gentiles. He was believed on in the world, and he was received up in glory. This is God. Jesus Christ is God in human flesh. He is God. He said, I am the Alpha and the Omega. But he is God the Son. In the truest sense of the word, he was here representing the Father. The Bible tells us there is one God who reveals himself in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And he said over and over, he referred to himself as the Son of God over and over again. But he said, as the Son of God, I represent the Father. I'm here to do what my Father wants me to do. We need to understand that the Bible says this about you and me, that you and I are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, we are ambassadors of Christ. Now then, we represent Christ. That's what we are to do. That's what our life is all about. That's why we exist. And so I need to understand this. If I'm going to be like Christ, I must do what he wants me to do and represent the Father in everything that I do and say. And you know, from time to time, that could be offensive. People get offended when you do what the Father wants you to do. Marco, one of our summer missionaries, last year worked for a Jewish evangelism ministry. And he went to New York City. And there in New York City, they would go door to door, and they would say, my name is Marco, and I'm with Jewish Evangelism Ministry, and we're out just trying to find Jewish people to talk to them about the Bible. And he would go door to door and talk to people and leave them brochures. And he came to one door, knocked on a door, and he said, I gave him his spiel, I'm Marco, I'm here for the Jewish Evangelism Ministry, and we're here to find Jewish people, talk to them about the Bible. And this lady said, well, I want you to know, I just think that's disgusting. And he said, well, why? She said, I want you to understand, I am a Quaker. And he said, she said, well, that's nice. I'm sure he didn't even know what a Quaker was. He said, except that they make oats. And she said, I'm a Quaker. And she said, it just really bothers me that you people just go out and disturb these Jewish people and get them all upset talking to them about Jesus. You know how sad that is? He was there to represent the Son, to represent the Father, to tell people about who Jesus Christ is. And somebody who calls himself a Quaker and therefore thinking that they're a Christian are saying, leave the Jews alone. No, we're supposed to evangelize. We're to represent Christ, and when we do what God wants us to do, from time to time, people will get offended. Jesus said, I am come in my Father's name. We need to understand that's what we're supposed to do. Listen, it doesn't matter what you and I think. It really doesn't. You're not here to tell people what you think and what you feel and what you like and what you dislike. In fact, the world really doesn't care what you think or what you like or what you dislike. The important thing is this, what God likes and what God dislikes, what God has for us to know. I remember years ago, I had called a national organization. Our church was very young. We had to be about 3 years old. Our church, because the building we were in, so our churches were about 3 years old. I was calling up a national organization. There was a pastor, and there was a ministry that dealt with dealing with children and raising children and that kind of stuff. And I was constantly trying to find information about how to properly raise children. I mean, I was raising children, and I was learning things, and I was doing everything I could to help young couples who were in our church. And so I called this national ministry because I was reading some material from this ministry, and I was having a hard time understanding it. So I called up and I said, I'd like to know what the director of this ministry, what he would teach. And they had these answer lines, these people that answered the phones. I'd like to know what he teaches about this subject. And so I asked him specifically, could you tell me what he believes about this, this, and this? And this is what the guy on the other end of the phone who's representing the national ministry, this is what he said to me. Well, I'll tell you what he believes. He believes this, he believes this, and he believes this. I said, okay, well, thank you. And I started asking, he said, but hey, he said, can I tell you what I believe? Let me tell you what I believe. And I'm listening to him on the phone, and I thought, I didn't call up to find out what you believe. Who are you? You're a guy that's paid to answer the phone. I don't care what you believe. I want to know what he believes. His material is being used, and it's a wonderful material. I want to know what he means. I don't want to know what you believe. I didn't call up to find out what you think. I was listening to a preacher at a conference. There was about 3 to 4, maybe 5,000 people in an auditorium. And this preacher stands up, and he said this. He was a well-known preacher. He said, okay, we're going to have a question and answer session. People have asked for a question and answer session. And this is what he said. Here's what we're going to do. You're going to ask the questions, and then I'm going to answer the questions. And that's what we're going to do. And one guy said, well, what if I would like to say something? He said, you need to understand, sir. He was kind about it. He said, these people that are in this auditorium didn't travel hundreds of miles and some of them thousands of miles to hear what you think. They came here to hear what I think. So I'm going to tell them what I think. And they don't care what you think. And if they want to ask you, then they can come to your church some other time and you can talk to them. Listen, I when I listen to that, I think, you know, it sounds awful arrogant. Sounds awful cocky. But I want you to understand, people don't care what Dave Tice thinks. People don't care what you think. But people do care what God thinks. Even if they're going to reject what God thinks, people want to know what God thinks. And your responsibility, wherever you are, is to tell people what God thinks. And my responsibility as a pastor is to tell people what God thinks. And our responsibility as a church isn't to be in with everybody else. We are here to, in the Father's name, to represent God and tell people what God thinks. So Jesus said, I am come in my Father's name. Number two, tonight, which is number 9, by the way, in your outline, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. In John chapter 6 and verse 35, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh unto me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. I love this statement that Jesus makes. In fact, later on, he really gets the Pharisees really upset when he says, listen, you've got to eat this flesh and you've got to drink this blood. What he's saying there is this: I want your life to be totally and completely centered on me. I want to be your nourishment. I want to be that which makes you live. I want to be your bread. The idea there is being a caregiver. Not only was he an ambassador, he was a caregiver. He came to meet needs. Bread meets needs. He came to satisfy. If you're driving in Fiji, there's a lot of poverty in Fiji. But one thing they do in Fiji that is absolutely amazing is you're driving down the road, they have these outdoor bakeries. And they're not really bakeries. There's these great big clams. And they put bread dough in all of these things, these big metal clamps. And then they close those clamps. And then they cook this bread. And when they open up those clamps, man, you're driving down the road, you just smell that stuff. And your body says, go there now. You need that. And then they have this homemade butter that they have on there. This is real health food. Man may not live by bread alone, but they could die by that bread. I'm telling you, you drive by and you smell this. All of a sudden, I can remember being with Navi and saying, what is that? He said, you want bread? I said, yes, I want bread. You could eat a loaf of that stuff. I mean, it's just amazing. And what happens with bread is when you start eating it, after a while, it fills you up. It satisfies you. The idea when Jesus said, I am the bread, is that he came to meet needs and he came to satisfy. He came to satisfy. We ought to do that. People ought to be able to look at our lives and say, wow, because we're not thinking about ourselves, we're thinking about others. I don't know how many times this has happened in my life. I've gone into a hospital room to visit somebody, to pray for them, and they've put their hand on me, and they've prayed for me, and they've comforted me, and you walk out, and you say, wow, what a deal. What a deal. And I've actually said to people, you know, I came here to be a help to you, and I'm walking out of here just being cheered up, being reminded of heaven. I remember when I went in to see James Campbell, when James Campbell was about to pass away. I went in, and James motioned to me like this. And I went down to him, and I thought he's going to say how heartbroken he is. And I got down in right next to his head because he couldn't speak loud, and he said, Pastor, I'm going to see Jesus before you see Jesus. And I thought, man, oh, man, I said, that's right. I said, tell him I love him. And, man, what a thing. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. I'm here to give. I'm here to give. And that's what God wants us to do. God wants us to be willing to give of ourselves totally, not thinking about what I need. Listen, there will never be a time in your life you don't need something. There'll be never, once you get past a certain age, there'll never be a time in your life you're not hurting. If your feet aren't hurting, your back's going to hurt. If your back's not hurting, we walked around the Grand Canyon. I did everything I could to get Lincoln to walk the whole way, the 4-mile hike. I kept him going, hey, let's go over here. Hey, let's go. Hey, hey, hey. Finally, he said, he's doing this. He had this little backpack on. I said, let me carry the backpack. And he said, no, my backpack. I said, okay. So he said, I'm tired. he starts walking like this. I'm tired. And when Lincoln's tired, when Lincoln feels anything, everybody in the room feels it. And so, I mean, he said, I'm tired. And I said, you want me to pick you up? Yes. Carry me, Grandpa. So I picked him up. I put him on my shoulders. And I did that all the time with my kids. And so I'm walking. I got about a mile more to walk. And I'm just going and going and just having a great time. And I thought, this is no problem. And I realized after about a half a mile, this is a problem. You get a certain age and you just have aches and pains. Isn't it a weird thing? It's a weird thing to just be sitting somewhere and all of a sudden, boom, you get a pain in your thigh. What is that all about? Or your toe just goes bang, like, I'm here. I know you're there. And you just feel like, why are you hurting? And you take off your shoe, you think something stabbed you, and it's nothing. It just decided to scream with pain. I mean, that you get to a certain point where you can get self-focused, and you have to say that's not going to be the case. I'm bread. I'm here to give of myself. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He said, I am come in my Father's name. I'm an ambassador. I am the bread of life. I'm a caregiver. And then Jesus said this in John chapter 8. Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 12, he said, then spake Jesus again unto them, said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Jesus said, I've come to give light. He is a teacher. He gives insight. He gives truth so that you and I as believers don't have to walk in darkness. It's so sad to me when I look at people who are supposed to be highly intelligent. The news media, there's what they're supposed to know, and they know so little about what life is all about. People are in a panic today because they honestly think that in the next 6 months that the whole world will either be in the hands of Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump. And either one of those thoughts freaks them out. The most powerful person in the world. See, does it ever bother you? Well, to tell you the truth, it really bothers me. But people get panicked about that reality. And here's why. They don't look beyond. They don't look beyond. The truth of the matter is, whether you like this or not, the person that will put either Hillary or Donald in the White House is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one. That was a very weak amen. If you believe that the powers that be are ordained of God, and we're supposed to believe that, if we believe the powers that be, if you believe the powers that be are ordained of God, say amen. Okay, one more time. If you believe the powers that be are ordained of God, then say amen. Amen. Then God in our country has ordained voters to put people in office. Now you say, well, then why would God put Obama in office? Or why would God do this? Well, number one, our nation is wicked. Our nation is wicked. We need to understand that. This is not the Christian nation it was. It's just not. We're wicked, we're self-centered, we're selfish, and it doesn't matter if you're on the left or on the right. And if this upsets you, I'm sorry, it's just reality. We have a choice right now. We have a capitalist and we have a communist. That's what we have. And some will say, you can't say, yeah, I can. We have a capitalist or a communist, or at least philosophically, that's what we have. Somebody who's going to give you everything, take away from, and it's all going to become a big government pot, and we're going to give you out of that pot. That's communism. They call it progressive. They call it liberal. They call it socialism. It all boils down to communism. Everybody's going to have the same thing. It's all going to be common, and it's all going to go or you have capitalism. If you don't have it, and sometimes heartless capitalism. If you can't have it, if you can't do it, then we don't care. We're just going to, if you can make it, you can make it. You got capitalism and you got communism. And you have Christianity in the middle, and Christians are saying, where do I go? Where do I go? Well, listen, understand this. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. That is, we're not children that walk in darkness. We're not children that walk in darkness. By the way, just in case you were wondering, well, no, let me go on to this. We're not children that walk in darkness. We walk in light. Therefore, I don't have to be panicked about what's going on out there in the world, because I know that my God, the light that I have in this book, the light that I have, you see, the Word is made flesh. Jesus Christ is this book made flesh. The light that I have tells me that God is in control, and that what what he allows to happen will bring glory and honor to him. And ultimately, his plan will be fulfilled. And as a believer, I have him protecting me. And it is he that is the king of the universe, not Barack Obama or Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton or Congress or the Senate or the Supreme Court. And so what I'm instructed to do is, no matter what takes place on this planet, I am simply to follow the light. I'm very simply instructed to do what God tells me to do. I'm supposed to obey him and honor the king. Obey him and honor whoever's in authority. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Light comes through the Holy Spirit. We don't have to walk in darkness. We don't have to worry about what's going on. We don't have to say, how's this world going to end? We know how it's going to end, because we have his light. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
We need to understand that. So Jesus said, I am come in my Father's name. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Number 11, in my notes, Jesus said, I am not of this world. And I think this is very important. We're going to end with this. Jesus said, I am not of this world. Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 23, he said unto them, you are from beneath. Again, he's talking to the Pharisees. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. Our theme verse this year is Romans 12:2. It starts off with Romans 12:1, which says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then he says, be not conformed to this world. Give yourself to God and don't live for this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be in the Word of God and start thinking God's thoughts, because this world is not what we're here for. We're not here collecting what we have. Now, by the way, there's nothing wrong with having nice things. I like the car that I drive. It's a nice car. I like the fact that I have a nice house to go to. There's nothing wrong with that. I like to be entertained. I like to sit down and watch good TV shows, whatever that happens to be in our culture today. I like to sit down and be entertained. My wife and I watched this movie the other night from 1949. Room for One More. It's an old Cary Grant movie, a carnal vile movie. But I like to be entertained. It was a really neat movie about this couple that had three kids and adopted two more, and how they lived together. It was just cute. I like to do that. There's things in this world that you can enjoy. But man, if you're living for this world, and if the things you have you're holding on to, man, you're going to fight, and you're going to fume, and you're going to worry, and you're going to fret, and you're going to be depressed. You see, everything in this world is going to pass away. In Revelation 21, we're not going to turn there because we don't have time, but in Revelation 21 and verse 1, the Bible says, John said, and I beheld, and the heavens and earth passed away. And there was a new heaven and a new earth. May I explain that to you, what that means? That means one day this will no longer exist. And this will no longer exist. And that chair you're sitting on will no longer exist. It's going to all pass away. It's going to melt, the Bible says, with fervent heat. Somebody asked me recently, isn't that figuratively? The Bible is very clear. It says the elements will melt with fervent heat. Everything is going to pass away. It compares it to the judgment of the flood. The flood was not figurative. The flood was real. All these things are going to melt. Just as everything got wet during the Noahic flood, everything's going to burn in the final judgment. It's over. And if you're holding on to it, man, you're going to get burnt. These things are going to pass away. Jesus said, I'm not of this world. My kingdom's not of this world. Jesus said that to Pilate. I am not of this world. My kingdom's not of this world. So don't live for the things of the world. Enjoy what you have here. Enjoy the relationship with Christ. Enjoy the things that God's given to you to enjoy. Ecclesiastes is an amazing book. The book of Ecclesiastes, you got the richest man in the world, the wisest man in the world, doing everything he can to satisfy his flesh, and he can't get satisfied. Can't have enough women, can't have enough money, can't have enough fame, can't get enough wisdom, and he's frustrated. And he says, I tried to find satisfaction in all those things, and none of those things brought me satisfaction. He said there is, basically, he says there's no satisfaction under the sun. He says in that book, it's a fascinating book, he says in that book that there's only certain things on this earth that are worth living for. And if you read it very carefully, he'll tell you this: enjoy the work of your hands, the things you work with, the things you do with your hands, the work you do. Enjoy that. My wife gardens; she enjoys the work of her hands. She's very good at a lot of different things, crafts, and she enjoys the work of her hands. The things that you do, the work that God has given you, that's not just talking about working with your hands, the things that God has given you. God's given me a job on this earth. My job is to be a pastor. I should enjoy what I'm doing, or I can endure it. Do you know that I know preachers that just endure pastoring? In fact, I've talked to a preacher one time who was, this is about 20 years ago, that preacher at that time was about as old as I am now. And he said, I just can't wait. I'm counting down the days till I retire. And I thought, God, please don't let me be like him. Let me enjoy what I'm doing. It means learning to enjoy people and enjoying being with people and ministering to people. The book of Ecclesiastes tells us, you enjoy the work of your hands. Enjoy the work that God's given to you. Then he says, enjoy your wife. Enjoy your wife. There are people who just endure their wives, and there are wives that are just enduring their husbands and waiting until the guy, man, when is he going to be gone? He says, enjoy your work, enjoy your labor, enjoy your children. Man, these are things that are given to you. And then enjoy your friends. Enjoy them. These are the few things on this planet that you're given to enjoy. Now, all of them, those all are things that are going to go with you when you die. And then he says, listen, the bottom line is this, that you're here to honor God, to glorify him, so live for him. That's what you're here to do. And if you live that way, you don't get upset when the market crashes. You don't get upset when I lose my job, or when my car gets in an accident, or when something happens. You don't get upset about those things. You just don't get upset about that. James Dobson told the story of a man who got in major trouble financially, and he was so broke that they had $40 to buy groceries with, and it was Christmas time. So they went out, he sent his wife out to buy groceries at Christmas time with $40. And she came home, she brought $39 worth of groceries, and she spent a dollar on Christmas wrapping paper. He blew up. He said, Christmas wrapping paper? Why did you spend all this money on Christmas wrapping paper? You wasted a dollar of our $40 on Christmas wrapping paper. While he was arguing and yelling at his wife for doing that, the little girl they had a little girl, little three-year-old girl. She got the Christmas wrapping paper, and she cut out some Christmas paper. And she found, she was a shoebox, and she wrapped up the shoebox with the Christmas wrapping paper. She put it, she taped it all together, and she was carrying the box to the tree. And her daddy looked over and said, "We were going to take that paper back. What did you do?" She looked up and said, "Well, Daddy, I just wrapped your Christmas present." He felt like such a heel. She took the present, put it underneath the tree. The next day was Christmas, and they opened up the presents. He went and he opened up. She went and got her present, and she took it and gave it to him. And he said, "Man, I really feel bad, you know, that I was upset with her." And he opened the present. When he opened the present, he opened the box. Inside the shoebox was absolutely nothing. Then he really gets mad. He said, "Why in the world did you waste that money from that paper to wrap a box filled with nothing?" And she said, "Oh, Daddy, it wasn't filled with nothing." She said, "I blew kisses in there for you to have when you were upset so that you could take the box." And she said, "I filled that box with my love so you could have it. And wherever you are, you could take my kiss out and put it on your cheek." He really felt like a jerk then. Listen, that's reality. That's reality. And that's something that will last forever. I want you to understand, Jesus said this, "I'm not of this world." And the problem with Christians, and the reason you worry, and the reason you fret, and the reason you get upset about what's going on around the world, is because your focus is on the things of this world. When Jesus said it's all going to pass away. So live for that which is real. I am not of this world. Four things we saw tonight. I am come in my Father's name. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. And I am not of this world. We ought to know who Jesus is because we're here to represent him. Let's pray. Father, help us take your truth. Help us to live your truth. Father, help us not to just be hearers of the word, but doers of your word. And Father, help us. Help us to be like that little girl. Help us to fill boxes with love for those who are closest to us and those who need them. Help us to get our eyes off of what we need and understand that we are here to shine as lights to others, not to focus on our own needs and our hurts and our problems, but we're here to share your love and your truth with others around us, and help us to do that day by day and week by week. And Father, I ask this in the name of Jesus. If there's someone here that's not sure they're saved, I pray for their salvation tonight. And it's in your name I pray.
We hope that message was an encouragement to your heart. Now, for weekly updates and for information about Liberty Baptist Church, be sure to follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook at LBC of Las Vegas. Well, that's it for today. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, God bless.